The message you're about to listen to has been offered to cause a revival in your life. Now receive the ministry of FEM Foundation.
All right. Today we are looking at the topic we started this period that we have been discussing since after we finished Cure, the topic of prayer. And while we're looking at prayer, two things are in my mind. The first thing is, what really is prayer? The reason I'm asking what prayer is so that we'll be able to see this thing we are doing, is it prayer? Pastor has dealt extensively in prayer. So I'm going to look at it from this dimension. It's like if we are getting old. I'm seeing clearer with the glasses. All right. What is prayer? When someone says, let us pray, what comes to your mind? I was at a conference, and then they say, let us pray. And all of us were praying. And someone said, this one, what they do, no be prayer, oh. No be prayer. And he said, when you people pray, you will know. So it means that in our minds and how we have been coming through life, there must be something we have in our mind, a picture, a metaphor of what prayer is. So, if we go by that behavior, by the pictures over time, it means that in the privacy of your room, if the exercise you are doing doesn't look like that picture in your mind, you might even tell yourself that you're not praying. So what is prayer? Number one, prayer is maintaining intimacy with God. Prayer is God fellowshipping with his son. I'll say it again. Prayer is maintaining intimacy with God. Number two, or expanding that number one, prayer is God fellowshipping with his son. So let's look at some scriptures that will explain what we mean by Exodus chapter 33 verse 7. Us to look at it together. However, the story is this, that after the children of Israel messed up at the golden calf, the presence of God that was around them was put very far away. Now, let's read. Now, Moses used to take a tent and pitch it, just put it in New King James so that it's easier for me, New King James. Moses took his tent and pitched it outside the camp, far from the camp, and called it the tabernacle of meeting. And it came to pass that everyone who sought the Lord went out of the tabernacle of meeting. Remember, it's very, very far, which was outside the camp. The next verse. So it was, whenever Moses went out of the tabernacle, that all the people rose, each man stood at his tent door, and watched Moses until he had gone into the tabernacle. Just stop. Before they created the golden calf, the tent of meeting, it was God that decided that they should create a meeting point where he will come and meet with his people because of his love for them. But something happened somewhere. Of course, you heard when, it was at the inner healing where Moses and God were saying, is your people, is not your people. And Moses was telling God, repent of this evil, I will go there. When this thing had happened, the tent that was in their midst, it's meant to be that the tent is in their midst, then all of them are camped around the presence. But when this rebellion happened, Moses took the camp tent of meeting and took it very far away from the camp. So, What did that mean? Number one, if you want to pray, everybody who wanted to pray must stand up from that place and go very far. Not only would they go very far, another thing has also happened to them. Because of what they did, it was as if God is so far away. So when Moses is going to talk with God, all of them will stand and stand at their tent. Everybody will stand in front of his tent and watch Moses from that distance talk to God. Read the next verse. Read the next verse. It came to pass when Moses entered the tabernacle that the pillar of cloud descended and stood at the door of the tabernacle. And the Lord talked with Moses. Please follow me. Now, if all of them were standing at the tent of their door, Moses enters the tabernacle. The cloud descended. It means when they look, they won't see Moses. They will only be seeing the cloud. Between the people and God, the cloud. Follow me. I'm going somewhere. So, how were they relating with God? Remember again, when these people left Egypt, when they looked behind, between them and the Egyptians was the cloud. So when they look back, they won't see the Egyptians. They look back, they see the cloud. They have pillar of fire, and then they have the cloud, those two. It followed them. That was why, while they were in the wilderness, they didn't feel cold. At night, God came and warmed them up because he's their father. During the day, he will be the cloud upon them. Now, that thing that happened to Egyptians, when Egyptians will look at them, they will see the cloud. They won't see the people. This is what has happened to these people now. Because of the thing called intimacy. Moses became so used to the presence of God. Became so used to talking with God and started enjoying his presence. That the moment Moses comes, God will come down to do what? To talk. Let's look at the next verse. To talk. All the people saw the pillar of the cloud standing at the tabernacle door, and all the people rose and worshipped each man in the tent of his door. They didn't see Moses. They saw the cloud. When the Egyptians behind looked, they saw the cloud. When the people of God looked, they saw God. Why they had their relationship with God? Behind them, pillar of fire. In the night, it will turn to fire. During the day, it's cloud. When they turn, they will see light. When the Egyptians look, they will see darkness. What does prayer do to you? Prayer removes the cloud so that you can see him face to face. The next verse. The next verse. Now, they worshipped, they saw the cloud. So the Lord, everybody look at this. The Lord spoke to Moses face to face as a man speaks to his friend. Pastor Peter, come. Pastor Charlie, come. Oh my God. Now, this is Moses. This is the people of Israel. These two people are sons of God. This one is not inferior. This one is not inferior. Now, two of them are about to talk to their father. This one is here. This one, two of them. The Bible says, God spoke to Moses face to face. They look, they see cloud. Moses looks, he sees the face of God. Two of them are discussing. They can't hear what he's saying because there is an intimacy between these two people. Most times, our prayers has been done from here. Where you are, you see, if you are looking and there is cloud, those of you who drive and in the morning there is cloud and the mist is too much, you really don't see well. And if you are not careful, you might even leave the road. If you are going on the road and the place is filled with mist, you might even be doing something like this to try to find your way. Most times, when we pray, because we do not know that prayer is intimacy with God, we pray from here. So from here, you are doing a lot of try and error prayer. But from this place, a discussion is going on. They are talking face to face. It's a closed door meeting. Thank you. They said the president is having a closed door meeting with the governors. So the journalists are not allowed. Whatever they discuss is a discussion done in intimacy. Ladies and gentlemen, what prayer does for you is he takes you from where you are looking at the cloud and brings you from where to where you and God can talk face to face. God desires relationship with you. And I can even prove it to you. The Bible said, during the cool of the evening, he will come. For what? Is he lonely in heaven? He's not lonely in heaven. He's this father that loves you. He's crazy about you. One thing have I desired of the Lord. That do I seek. That I may behold the beauty of the Lord. Now, the word beauty is not that a woman is beautiful. The word beauty simply means that when you look at God, you see two things. You see the fatherhood of God. You see the brotherhood of men. When you look at God, you see him. He is so wonderful. And then when you look at him, you ask yourself, why does he love me so much? His mercy endures forever. God is so long-suffering that he forgave me while I was small, forgave me while I was a teenager, forgave me before I got married, and always will forgive me. And I'm looking at myself. I say, there are some things people have done to me that if not that God has taught some areas of our lives, we would not have forgiven those people. How come this God, he's so caring, he's so mighty, yet from that mightiness, he comes down to love me. That's why I love the Bethel song that says, you fascinate me. The beauty of God is so much that he's caring. He's firm. God looks like a contradiction of so many things. So you look at him and say, he's such a mighty God. When you are mighty, if someone does something, you're supposed to kill him. Yet in that mightiness, he stoops down. So that's why when the psalmist looked at him, he said, I can't understand you. You are too beautiful. So that mighty man comes in the cool of the day. He wants to have a discussion, a face-to-face with Adam. Now, many of us are thinking that the Garden of Eden must have been hot. That's why the Bible said it's cool of the day. No. In his presence, there is fullness of joy. And at his right hand, there are pleasures. So each time, the more you pray, the more you come into peace. The more you pray, the more you go closer to him, the more you experience peace. The Bible calls it that the peace that surpasses all human understanding. In fact, in Numbers chapter 12, verse 8, the Bible said Moses was talking to God mouth to mouth. What is prayer? Prayer is being so comfortable in the presence of God. More comfortable that you will even be in the presence of your husband or your wife. The Bible in Genesis chapter 5 verse 24, it says, Enoch walked with God and was not. Of course, most times we look at it from the part that Enoch walked with God and God took him. Let's look at it from another point. The more you walk with him, the more you look like him. Because what happens is, the more you pray, the more two of you exchange ideas, you take up his creativity. He takes up your nonentity. Not that he's going to do anything to him. The more you pray, the more you look like him. The more you pray, you people are exchanging juices. It's like sex. What makes prayers difficult is when we don't feel comfortable with God. Prayer, Enoch enjoyed walking with God. So we must come to a place where you enjoy prayer like you enjoy Telemundo. Am I still your friend? What is it that will make prayer as beautiful, as interesting as 24? What is it that will make prayer as wonderful as Z World? Some of us can watch this thing perpetually. Just watch it. You know, some of us say, I want to relax. How do we come to a point? What will Moses be discussing with God? What are they gisting about? The Bible didn't tell us, but we will understand that thing must have been very interesting. It's a closed-door meeting. It must have been more interesting than a night of 1,000 laughs. It must have been more wonderful than any comedy show. I would want to know what they were talking about. That is what prayer is. So, how do you achieve that in prayer? Many of us, the challenge we have with prayer is when you get to the place of prayer, you don't know what to say. They say, read Bible. If you want to read, but when you open the Bible, you don't know whether to start with Psalm or to start with Genesis. And then when you open it, very boring. If you take a novel, fam, you have finished it. But Bible, no, they sweet like that. What is it that makes Bible not to be sweet? Yet David said, I was glad when they said, let us go to the house of the Lord. What did it he knew that I need to know? How do we come to that point where Jesus will spend all night talking to God and then when he wakes up in the day, what were they talking about? How did they get to that point? How do I begin to experience that intimacy with God that will want me want to talk with him? How does it come about? Listen, friends, prayer is very sweet. The more you truly pray, the more you want to pray. If you prayed and when you finished, you were tired, you didn't pray. If you go and visit any king, you don't come out tired. You don't come out stressed. You don't come out, your clothes are rumpled. If you truly prayed, my brothers and sisters, you truly prayed. When you come out of the prayer, you are so refreshed. If you truly worshipped. Because in his presence, there is fullness of joy. No struggle, no sorrow. No frowning of faces. If his presence contains so much joy. And the Bible says the fullness of God stays in Jesus. So which means when you go into the place of prayer, you are actually going there to soak in God. You can't soak in God and come out, you're tired. So we're going to learn one or two things, or why is it, why prayer is stressful for us. The first reason that these people enjoyed this, where they are talking with God face to face. They are talking to him mouth to mouth. Enoch walked with him. Enoch was enjoying the thing he was doing with God. What did they learn that we can put in? If you want prayer to be enjoyable, I will show you five things. And let's begin from the most practical. How many of us have friends here? Friends. Friends you love. Maybe your wife. Good. When you are talking with your friend, how do you feel? Someone you truly love. The more you, relaxed. Thank you so much. The more you talk with the person, the more you want to talk to the person. Am I talking to someone? And for those of you who just fell in love last 2 months, you know what I'm talking about. If by any chance your battery goes off, and your generator, you forgot to put fuel for the midnight gist, you almost practically feel frustrated. There is someone I know. Some people are covering their faces. There is someone I know who had never crossed Niger Delta. Never. Because of a woman, the person crossed Niger Delta. What is it? In fact, You went to that village. I'm preaching the word of God. You went to that village. You are the only Asian man in that village. Nobody from your place where you went to pay bride price. The entire place is filled with forest. And you paid bride price. You wore nika and was entering from one village to another. There is something about love that it can make you go the extra mile. Yes. Yeah, seriously. It's the word of God, yes. I remember then they used to write letter. Am I talking to someone? You can sit down all night and construct, you know, then it was full sculpture, and construct four. Mama Kere is agreeing. And the letter is going and coming. It's through post, it's not email. You write, you go somewhere and post. The day the person's letter also comes, you are full of joy. You haven't opened the letter. And for those of you who were doing boyfriend and girlfriend behind, and the boy sneaks in letter to your house, for anybody not, the excitement is in your mind. The letter under your pillow is me, Benson Ahigwe, speaking from the Sugar Mountain through the Mikli Ocean. I'm preaching the word of God. Am I talking to someone? Now, except you have never experienced love, love is powerful. The Bible says love is stronger than death. When you have this love for God, prayer is a delight. So how do you develop this intense intimacy? Because the Bible actually calls you the Son of God. Let's take the verse. It's somewhere in Luke chapter 3, verse 38. Prayer is your Father fellowshipping with you. Luke chapter 3, verse. He said, the son of Enoch, the son of Seth, the son of Adam, the son of God. Everybody is the son of some. It is only Adam that is the son of God. And you people are descendants of Adam. So which means you are son of God. When you are praying, you are fellowshipping with daddy. And for those of you who had good relationship with your dad, you understood what I'm talking about. It's a discussion that continues. How do we develop this intimacy? Number one, it's not you that finds God. God is not missing. I am the one that is missing. So the Bible says, quicken me that I may call upon your name. For your prayer to be easy, before you pray, I can give one or two suggestions. If you can, put on worship song and sleep with it. When you wake up, it will be practically as if you woke up on the arms of the Father. Another suggestion. Take a message you love. Play it into the night as you sleep off. For those of you who can sleep with sound. Another one is play audio Bible. Play it in. What happens is it quickens you so that it was the psalmist that said, quicken me that I may call upon your name. The Bible says that he is in us to will and to do. So until God quickens you, you can't follow him. For you to be born again, he gave you the faith. It is that faith that enabled you to agree. That's the first one. The second thing that makes it easy for you to pray is to have this 1 minute, two minutes prayer. Say, God, reveal yourself to me. Everywhere you are. You can put a time on your phone. Say, Lord, I'm hungry to know you like you know you. That's what the Bible said in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17. Give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you. The eyes of our understanding being opened that we may know. That prayer is actually saying, Lord, open my eyes to know you just like you know you. So if you continue that prayer, Kenneth Hagin said he prayed that prayer every day. Lord, reveal yourself to me. If you see him for who he truly is, you will always be hungry for him. He will never, you never get to a point where you say you are so filled. The more you pray, even when you leave your prayer room, you find out that you carry this consciousness. You have this consciousness of God everywhere you are. A constant prayer to baptize you with hunger for him will help you with your intimacy journey. It's simple things you do every day. While you are in the kitchen taking up the dishes, Lord, help me to know you like you know you. While you're driving to work, Lord, reveal yourself to me. Sometimes I said to God, Lord, that thing that made Mary sit down while Martha was walking, give me that mindset that will make me make better choices. Now, when you start doing these things, what you're going to discover is that your appetite for his presence will start getting wider. The next thing you're going to do when it has to do with reading the Bible is not, you say, to bomb to bombast, calabati, Lord, anywhere you want me to open, as I open it now, help me in Jesus' name. The way you people are laughing, you just close your eyes like this. I open in Jesus' name. You feel open now. You see where, say, Jesus, Judas committed suicide. You open another one, you say, go and do likewise. One of my daughters was, Bible is, no, you don't, they don't, okay, they don't open Bible, say, Lord, no. That's not how it's done. One of my daughters told me that someone came to their house and encouraged her for them to steal the mother's bottle of wine. They said they must find out who stole it, and they brought Bible and took key and tied on it. They said, Bible, is it this person that stole it? That is not what Bible is supposed to be used for. Bible is not talisman. It's not what you put under the pillow. Say, when you hear some noises around your area, you lift up the Bible, say, this is the word of God. You put it under the pillow. Say, Lord, please. Your head, it won't enter by diffusion. It's not perfume. So, we have established the fact that it's not easy to read it. But now we have seen that some people read it. It means that it is a lie that it's not easy to read it. So, what can I do? There are prayers you can pray before you open it. Open my eyes, oh Lord, to behold wondrous things out of your word, is a prayer in the Bible. Lord, this is your word. Open my eyes to know where to read. Then you can even pray that Ephesians chapter 1 prayer. Give me the spirit of wisdom. That is Ephesians chapter 1, 17. You practically read it. And when you read it, you are expecting answers in the things you have prayed about. Another way to read the Bible is to read it to use to put structures in your life. If you find out that you are going through a period of fear, the Bible has answers for fear. And there are Bible tools. In the Old Testament, when they want to cut the bread, the shoe bread, they had cutlaries, fork, they used to cut it. The same way, the Bible you have, there are different cutlaries to cut it. There is Bible concordance. There are Bible, all of them are free on the internet. What do you use Bible concordance to do? Maybe you're dealing with fear. What do you do? You open, you go to one, you take concordance, put fear. Everything the Bible said about fear will come out. Now, You are not reading it at once. You take one. I'm going to come to that. In Abeokuta, someone was sharing her story with us. A girl that finished Elisa, finished school. She said everything she did, she finished it before 24. The moment she finished, she said, the next thing in my agenda, she was ticking. The next thing now is to marry. And then she had concluded by herself the kind of man she will marry. And this person that came at that particular point in time had some connections with the president. There was no need for her to ask God. She had prayed that God will send her a man that worked in oil company. The man has come. And he looked like the right man. To cut a long story short, when she started having marriage crisis, she went to a church to solve the marriage problem. And the pastor told her that her husband is a wizard. A girl, a top banker, sir, before she said Jack Robinson, she has moved into pastor's house, sir. Before you say old MacDonald has a farm, she and pastor have started building cathedral. Now, she's using this, her story, to, you know why I'm saying this? Many of us don't read the Bible. And because we don't read, the people who are reading it like this, like this, like this, will explain it to you. Yes, they will explain it like that, like that, like that. And if you don't know it, anything they say, you will take. If you are looking for water, they say they give you cold coke. You say take that one first of all to quench thirst before you see water. So, what else should you do? Where are the things you're battling with? If you are dealing with immoral thoughts, you find out that you're dating someone. Briefly, you people have done everything the Bible says you shouldn't do. And every day you are saying, God, I'm sorry. Lord, forgive me. I will repent. Jesus, if we do this again, kill us in Jesus' name. And before you know it again, once you see the person, your body will scatter. The Bible has an answer. You find out that you have a challenge with if someone wants to buy something for you, as long as the penny is your family member, you must dupe the person. You don't do it purposely. It just happens. Am I talking to anybody? If you have the mindset, you can't help yourself. The only thing that can help is say your word I have hidden in my heart that I may not sin against you. So what should I do? I have to now start asking God to baptize me with the hunger for his word. Lord, give me an unquenchable appetite to be so hungry for this word, the way I will look for cake to eat. Now, all those prayers you pray, they are not in vain. All of a sudden, you will discover that you have voracious appetite for the word of God. And I have noticed in my own life that the more I read his word, the more prayer is easy. And when it has to do with prayer, my friends, I also noticed that if you start your prayers and you start it with warfare, after some time you'll be tired. And majority of us say, will you give us one or two clues on how we can pray? It's easy. If you can't find anyone, take the one Jesus taught. He just gave you example. When you want to pray, tell the Father to glorify himself. Father, we just thank you. We ask you to glorify yourself in our nation. Glorify yourself. Lord, I know that if I give you glory, you can take. But my own glory is very small. So take the glory by yourself. As you are saying this, if you have something to play song, it will help you to ginger the prayer, if I can find another word. If you play, take your glory, Lord of Lords. There are songs you know that they motivate you to pray. Play those songs. If you have it in your phone, But you have to now put your phone in aeroplane mode. Because the devil is a very wicked devil. The reason I'm saying so is, when you put that your phone now, to take your glory, Lord. That is when... No, we come back. That is when a strong discussion will be going on one WhatsApp group. You will just simply say, let me read number one. You will remain on number one. Now, so which means, Paul said, I put my body under. You have to consciously tell your body, I want to pray. And for me to pray, I must suffer the phone. Yes, you will always come to read that message. Now, assuming you don't have the kind of phone that you can use to play Take Your Glory, well, you have mouth. Use your mouth. God is not marking the quality of your voice. It is not a singing competition. The angels will not say, don't sing. No angel will cover your mouth because you want to sing. God loves you in your naturality. As natural, if you can't sing, some of us here can't sing at all. They don't have key. Singing, it is your father you are singing. Do you know, in his ear, the song is very beautiful. When my son was younger, no matter how he sang that song, it is sweet for my body. That's the same way God is. The first one is you give him glory. The second one is you tell him, Lord, as it is in heaven. It's a simple way to pray. Say, God, if you were the governor of Edo State, the way Edo State would have been, that's how I'm asking you for it to be. When you go, say, and then let your will be done. Now, prayer is a discussion. When you are discussing with someone, you are not tired. You don't even need to raise your voice when you're having this discussion with God. You have now told him about his will. Father, what you love that in thy kingdom, God, we don't give us this day. At that particular point in time, that's where many of us have problems on what to pray about. Should I now begin to tell him all the things I want to tell him? There's a difference between knocking, seeking, and asking. Asking is saying everything you like, saying everything you like. At the end of the day, saying in Jesus' name. That's asking. And that is where children pray. At that level of prayer, what you will just receive is peace. But listen to me. You need more than peace on earth. Because God brought you here to bring his kingdom to earth. If you are asking for this, asking for that, it is good. But that is the simplest way of praying. There is a prayer they call seeking. The seeking prayer is where you're saying, it's not my agenda. It's not my prayer list. Lord, if you give me things, they're okay. I'm now seeking the things in your heart. At that particular point, it is intimacy prayer. I'm seeking the person who sought me. The person that came to find me and drew me from the miry clay. I want to know that person. I don't want to know about you. That is the time when you tell him, Lord, I'm reading your encounter, how Moses was talking with you. And this Moses, now, you are talking to him. Our challenge is when you now want to pray like Bishop Oyedepo. Bishop Oyedepo has been praying for more than 50 years. So he may have different scriptures. He can put 50 scriptures in one prayer. By the time you enter that place, you cannot pray like that. Lord, I have read this thing you have done with Moses. I like him. Me, I would also want to have this kind of relationship with you. It's a discussion. Now, this discussion is, you know, say, hey, make I find us a day talking for Bible, or how did Papa Chidme pray that day? No, pray it your own way. If you can't pray it in English, na pidgin, you feel pray him. Take him for pidgin. Say, Baba, what did Moses give you when we say you and I just sit down, they talk mouth to mouth? Me no get anything to give you. But as it be so, me go like this relationship. I don't say you know the Pasha. He is your father. And when you are praying, the father is looking at your heart. Are you trying to impress me or have you come to love me? Am I talking to someone? Brasha, prayer is so easy and enjoyable if you make it like what you do every day. This one, you and your husband are running around the house in the name of fight. We can settle that matter on the altar of God. Now, let me talk to women. Your husband is your head. Someone is your husband's head. This discussion you people are doing, it's not a time to prove to him that you also went to school, that in fact you acquired 2 certificates. It's not necessary. If you can talk to God, God can talk to him. We were having a meeting, and one of my daughters said she called her husband. It's okay. She went and prayed and said, Father, you know this meeting is very important to me. Since you are my husband's head, please give him a knock so he can follow. So the husband went to sleep. So she felt that the meeting has been canceled. She went to sleep. Her husband went to wake her. Ah, my dear, that meeting. This I'm telling you happened 2 weeks back. He said, this meeting we need to attend. He said, while I was sleeping, so and so person came to meet me and said, that meeting your wife called for, you better get up and go. He was the one that stood up, dressed up, and carried the wife to the meeting. The wife was surprised. What happened? She remembered that she prayed. I prayed and I prayed, Lord Jesus answered me. Hold on. Have you noticed that some of the prayers that God answered, you didn't even pray too much? Some of them were prayers you uttered carelessly. Some of them were prayers you uttered in the bathroom while you were taking a bath. Some of them were prayers you uttered. You were going on the road, you almost fell. Some of them were things you thought about. To him that is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above. I have become careful with my thoughts since I have discovered that my thoughts are also prayers. Prayer is that easy. There is asking, there is seeking. Asking, you are asking for what is in his hands. Seeking, you are seeking for what is in his mind. Knocking is a place of silence. Behold, I stand on the door and knock. At that particular point in time, what you're completely saying to God, I live, no longer I. I'm completely sold out to you. So, man does not talk to God. Only God talks to God. Is this in the Bible? Yes. The hour is coming and it is now when the true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. What does it mean to worship in spirit? To worship in spirit is to worship in the kingdom. Wherever the spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty, righteousness, peace, and joy. That anywhere you see this, check, you will see the Holy Spirit. At that particular point in time, I am not the one praying. The Bible says we do not know what to pray as we ought to. In other words, there is a way. Thank you, Jesus. There is a way we ought to. Friends, I have discovered in our dealings with God, when you fellowship with God, when sons are fellowshipping with their father, they are discussing the things God wants done on earth. When children, when babies are fellowship with their father, they are telling their father what he wants them to do. I don't want you to jump. I want you to start from the stages and then move up. You get from the point where you are talking, but after some time you'll be tired of talking. That's why many people don't pray. How many things will you say? Can you talk for 1 hour continuously? You can't. Can you think for 1 hour to continuously? And for you to grow, listen, growing is intentional. Christian growth does not happen by chance. It happens by a set of discipline you will give to yourself. I grew up in monastery. We are going to pray. In monastery, they taught us, you get to a point where you are no more the one talking to you. Prayer is God telling you what he wants done on earth. And you being in a position where you are, he can mold you to any shape for him to use you. I want to read some things for you. Give me my slide. I want to read something. If God wants something to be done on earth, there is a landscape he wants your mind to be like. For your mind to be like that landscape, when God is talking to you, what he's doing is he's changing the landscape of your mind, putting you in a position where you can be a conveyor belt for what he wants to do on earth. At that level, what you're saying to him is, I no longer live my agenda. Now, don't be afraid of God's agenda. It's not painful. God's agenda is originally what he wrapped around you and called it your passion. What he wrapped around you and called it your ability. What he wrapped around you and called it your gifts. If we allow ourselves to get to a place of knocking, it's a place of sweetness. You find out the more you pray, the more you want to pray. I want you to listen to, let's read this testimony. James Alexander. He was called Brother Brian. I saw this story and it touched me. What was the secret of Brother Brian's ministry? By all accounts, it was the spirit and practice of prayer. Let us pray were the words most frequently upon the lips of this beloved pastor. No man has ever believed more explicitly in prayer than he. And never were prayers more unconventional. Prayer seems to him as natural as for a man to breathe the air. Why not? He will reason. For is God not the most real thing in the universe? It was said that the fragrance of his prayer life permeated the whole city. His prayers were often short and to the point, but they were more than pious. He knew that prayer was a vital component of Paul's ministry. One of the most interesting prayer stories from his life came from one Thursday night when he was walking home alone after dark. Suddenly, a man jumped out of an alley, pushed a gun into his face and said, "Hands up, brother." Brother Brian complied as the man rifled through his pockets, taking his watch and the little cash he had on him. Look at what happened. When the robbery was done and before the thief could depart, he heard the minister say, "Brother, let us pray." And Brother Brian prayed. The thief lowered his gun and placed the watch and the stony money back into the hands of the victims. You will experience prayer. Let's see this man's story. One night, you see that prayer is so powerful, so we should know how to do it. John Patton and his wife, a missionary couple in the New Hebrides Island, were awakened by chance outside their mission station. Looking out, they saw that scores of hostile islanders had surrounded the station with torches, intent on burning the place down and killing the missionary couple. The patrons go down on their knees and pray throughout the night, asking God to deliver them. The tense dark hours passed, yet the islanders kept their distance. Finally, around daybreak, they looked out the window and the hostile tribesmen were gone. They were baffled. There seemed to be nothing preventing the islanders from attacking. Yet no attack came. Patton didn't find out why the islanders left so mysteriously until a year later, when the chief of the tribe was won to Christ. Remembering the night-long siege of a year before, John asked the newly converted chief why the tribesmen had departed instead of burning the mission station to the ground. "We were afraid of the men who were with you," the chief replied. "What men?" "There were 100 tall men around the mission house that night," said the chief. You can see that prayer is not a religious activity. Their clothing shone with light and they had swords in their hands. "We knew they would never let us harm you, so we went back to our village." Prayer. This one shocked me. In year 1854, a sailing vessel was becalmed in the vicinity of New Guinea. Seeing the distressed look on the captain's face as he peered intently into the sea, a young Englishman inquired as to the cause of this anxiety. This was the reply. "A 4-knot current, that is actually a wind, is carrying us away from our destination. On the shores of the island, there are cannibals. Cannibals were rushing about and lighting fires in great glee. Presently," the captain spoke again, "we have done everything that can be done." "No," responded the young man. "There is one thing we haven't done. 4 of us on board are Christians. Let each of us retire to his cabin and in agreed prayer, ask the Lord to give us a breeze immediately." This was agreed upon and done. After a few minutes of earnest intercession, the young man came up on the deck, confident that the petition has been granted. Finding the first officer, a godless man in charge, he requested him to let down the corners of the mainsail. "What will be the good of that?" he asked. The young man told him that he and 3 others had been asking God to send a wind, that it was coming immediately, and that there was not a minute to lose. Since they were so near the reefs, with a look of contempt, the officer replied with an oath, "Nonsense, you can't pray up a wind." Noticing a few moments later that the topmost sail was beginning to tremble, he said, "There is only a cat's paw, a mere puff of wind." "Never mind what you think," cried the young man. "Let down the mail sail quickly." This he was not slow to do. Hearing the heavy tread of the men on deck, the captain came up from his cabin and saw that the breeze had indeed come. Prayer is not a religious exercise. It's not an exercise for praying mantis or SU or religious weirdos. Prayer is doing business with the King. Everybody stand, let's do business. Today, some of us are going to wake up by 12. Some of us are going to wake up by 3. Some of us are going to wake up by 6. Let's do business. Some of us will do the asking prayer. Some of us will do the seeking. And if you can do the knocking, welcome. Lift your hand, say, "Father, I love to pray. Teach me how to do it. Holy Spirit, help me to pray. Lord, I don't want to be looking at the cloud. I want to talk with you face to face. I want to talk with you mouth to mouth. I call for intimacy in prayer. Lord, I ask you to baptize me with a hunger to pray, with a spirit of prayer. Oh Lord, quicken me. Position my heart, position my will, position my mind to be able to pray. Lord, as the year is ending, I want prayer to be a delight in my life. I don't want prayer to be a duty. I don't want prayer to be something you use to kill devil. Lord, help me for it to be true intimacy between me and my Father. In the precious name of Jesus. And everybody shout a big amen. Amen. Turn to four people. Say, prayer is sweet. Four people. Four people.
Rise up on your feet. Acts chapter 3, verse 1. On Sunday, 31 persons met me here to intercede for 21 days. And we started this morning, 7 to 8. We're going to run for 21 days. We're adding fasting to it, skipping a meal. And that day, 5 p.m., as we began to pray, the rain began to fall. And we lifted up our voice and said, no, no strike. They said people should go and stock their food. Some people don't have money to stock. They must make money every day, or else children will not eat. He said, now Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, the night hour. Were you blessed by those stones? I was just going and going. The story came and I just went up bar. The only thing I have to do is pray. I don't know why God said I should have dream. He should just tell me what to do, so I will do it. But God brings you into his midst and say, what is in your heart? We're going to pray that the Lord should baptize us with the spirit of prayer. I want you to lift up your voice. Lift up your voice. Lift up your voice. Lord, I look to you. I won't be overwhelmed. Baptize our local assembly. Baptize this family. Baptize every one of us with a spirit of prayer. With a prayer, with reformation prayer, with revival prayers. Baptize us. Let people wake up. Pastor K prayed today. A man had an encounter because a woman prayed. All the things she said today ignited faith in me. If a man could pray for a thief and the thief returned everything. A couple prayed agreement prayer. 100 men were found outside. If the watchman does not watch. People were supposed to